Harper Audio presents Dear Chairman, Boardroom Battles and the Rise of Shareholder Activism by Jeff Graham, performed by David Drummond. Introduction. In 1966, William Schlinsky finally snapped. A long-suffering shareholder in a well-known public company, he had endured more than a decade of financial losses and non-competitive performance. The company was a venerable institution, almost a century old, and once the pride of all Chicago. But over the course of the previous 30 years, while its younger competitors harnessed technology to revolutionize the industry, the company hunkered down in its ivy-walled fortress. The president and CEO was one of Chicago's most famous businessmen, but he was also a stubborn traditionalist. "Baseball is a daytime sport," he insisted. Bill Schlinsky's father had given him 2 shares in the Chicago Cubs when he was 14 years old. It was a cruel gift that was more than just a lifetime of fruitless sports fandom. It was a bitter lesson in corporate governance. Over the next 14 years, the Cubs never finished in the top half of the National League standings. In fact, they placed either second to last or last in half of those years, and managed only 1 winning season. To make matters worse, the Cubs' futility was not confined to the baseball field. The company had not reported an operating profit in years. By the mid-1960s, about 60% of all Major League Baseball games were played at night. Baseball under the lights had become extremely popular with fans, and most teams scheduled almost all of their non-holiday weekday games in the evening. The Cubs were the only holdout. On the south side of town, Chicago White Sox weeknight games averaged 19,809 fans in 1965. Cubs weekday games, by contrast, attracted a pitiful 4,770 baseball fans. Both teams managed decent crowds on weekends of around 15,000, but even this turnout paled in comparison to the Sox's weeknight games. Schlinsky believed the Cubs were caught in a vicious cycle. Their refusal to light Wrigley Field for night games compromised their ability to hire and develop talent, which in turn ensured losing teams that further depressed attendance. He was going to do something about it. Dear Chairman is about shareholder activism, the moment when a public company investor is no longer content with just being another bum in the stands. For most people, owning stock in a large corporation is a passive pursuit. They will quickly sell out of an investment if they disagree with how the company is being managed. But some investors decide to actively engage the company to try to enhance the value of their shares. This book focuses on the dramatic moment when a shareholder moves from passive observer to active participant and picks up a pen to plead his or her case. Shareholder activism is not a recent phenomenon. As long as corporations have had public stockholders, there have been tensions between investors, boards of directors, and executives. 400 years ago, angry shareholders in the Dutch East India Company lobbied for expanded rights and accused directors of self-dealing. In 19th-century America, stockholders kept close watch on public companies that operated bridges, canals, piers, railroads, and banks. The railroads in particular saw many fights for control, including the acrimonious Erie War of the late 1860s. But the last 100 years in America have been the most turbulent period for corporate oversight, marked by power struggles between management teams and shareholders that have culminated in an era of unprecedented shareholder power. Today, no public company is too big to be confronted. Every CEO and corporate director is a potential target, unless they have secured voting control of the company. How did this happen? Why did shareholders triumph in the struggle for corporate control? Who were the key players that ushered in this period of so-called shareholder primacy? If we want to understand the rise of the shareholder, I suggest we go to the source, original letters from the greatest investors ever to intervene in the management of public companies. These letters, and the stories behind them, tell the history of shareholder activism through the last century, from Benjamin Graham's battle with Northern Pipeline in the 1920s, to Ross Perot.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?